Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds, and welcome to another episode of The Dictionary. This is episode, I don't ever say this, this is episode G21, and my name is Spencer, and I am welcoming you to this safe space of just words, English words, American words, not necessarily, but it definitely has an American-English leaning. Hey, let's talk about the words. The first word in this episode is garage. You can also say, what would that be? A garage, with like a sort of a harder j sound, garage. Canadians, what do they say? Garage? Is that what it say? Garage? Maybe it's garage. Garage. The British people like to say garage. Do I have that right? Did I say that? Did I pronounce that correctly to you British people? Garage? Anything else? Garage. Let's see. Anything else? No. So we have a bunch of different pronunciations, all proper and perfectly accurate and acceptable pronunciations of the word garage. That's how I say it. So that's how you're going to hear me say it. I'm so sorry. This is my podcast. I do what I want. It's spelled G-A-R-A-G-E. Garage. That's how it should be garage. Garage. Watch out for the gay rage. They've got reason to be angry. Okay, so the word garage, this is the first form. It's a noun from 1902. Number one, a shelter or repair shop for automotive vehicles. The place where the automotive vehicles, cars, scooters, trucks, motorcycles, things like that. You can put them in the shelter so they can stay all nice and cozy and warm when it's cold outside. Also, when you got to get them repaired, you got to take them to a garage so the people who work at the garage can fix them. And then they are sheltered again. Number two, a cabinet with a vertical rolling door that is used for storing a small kitchen appliance. This is a very specific thing. So it's a cabinet in your kitchen, probably, that has a vertical rolling door. I don't feel like I see these very often in kitchens. This must be a little bit older. Put the blender in the garage. There's a specific blender garage for that small kitchen appliance. A vertical rolling door. This is fascinating. Do I need to look up kitchen garage? Let's see, because this is a new thing to me. This one's kind of fascinating, a little bit different. It's like the whole door sort of comes out and slides. It doesn't really slide up. It's just on these hinge things. And then the microwave is hidden beneath that. So it's you can have a garage in your kitchen and... That's where the things get sheltered when they're not being used. Well, of course, now we have to look at the etymology. We have to say that this is a French word. It means act of docking. So, like, when you're bringing in your car, you're, like, docking the car in this shelter area. It also, the French word also just means garage. From the word garer, which means to dock. From the Middle French, garer, which is from the Old Norse vara, which means to beware. Also, take care. So take care, beware, to dock. Not really sure how those are connected. Akin to the Old High German bewahren. Bewahren? That means to protect. So that one actually makes the most sense to me because you are protecting your automotive vehicle inside of this structure. The docking makes sense. You know, we don't typically think of the word garage for boats, but, you know, it's the same idea. You're pulling up your thing to a thing, and then you're putting it away. Are there garages for boats? I mean, there's boat houses. You can pull a boat into this house. Do we call it a garage, though? That I don't know, because I don't have a boat. Maybe someday I'll have a boat, and I'll say the boat's in the garage. All right, anything else about that word? No, except for I got to go to the next word. Oh, I got to make a sound effect. We're going to go, hey, you. The second form of garage is a verb from 1905. To keep or put in a garage. Garage the car, garage the boat, garage the microwave, garage the blender. When you're done with the blender, first of all, you should wash it. And then when you're done, you should garage it so you can put it in the garage. That's the act of putting it in the garage is garaging. I don't think I use this word as a verb. Yeah, no verb, no garage verbing for me, I don't think. Woo! Next is garage band. Two words, noun from 1972. This is an amateur rock band typically holding its rehearsals in a garage and usually having only a local audience. Yeah, the people from out of town might not be coming to see this garage band perform. It's, you know, the people who live down the street who get to hear them perform or rehearse all the time. They're the ones who might be their audience. Or maybe they've heard enough. They've heard enough of this garage band during their rehearsals. So you got to get other people from town further down the street who might not get to hear you. And they're like, well, I want to hear what this garage band sounds like. Maybe their performances are in the garage. Yeah, this is a whole thing. I mean, it's become a whole thing so big that Apple decided to make a music app called GarageBand. So you can pretend you're like a band in a garage, but it's all in the computer. I think that app has advanced quite a bit since the last time I used it many, many years ago. Let's see. Anything else? GarageBand. I mean, many, many bands, I think, have gotten their start in a garage. You know, a lot of maybe junior high kids and high school kids are starting their band in a garage because they got some space there. It's maybe a little detached from the house, so the family, the parents, can't quite hear it so well. If it's in the basement, they're going to be able to hear that really, really well. But if it's in the garage, then maybe they won't hear it. Let's see, anything else? I feel like there's more to say about garage bands, but I can't think of anything at the moment. Maybe someday I'll be part of a garage band if I had a garage and had time and people and abilities. I could do some stuff. Garage band. We're playing in a garage. We're a garage band. That's the whole song. It's the garage song. Woo-woo! Next is garage man. Look at that, garage man. Noun from 1919. It is a person who works in a garage. And this is probably the type of garage where they're fixing the automotive vehicles. Garage man. I don't know if I would have called them that, but it's old. Very old. This is from 1919. And at some point, they were like, we're going to call them something else. We're going to call them car fixer person. That's what they say. Garage man. Playing in a garage band. Yeah-hoo. Next is garage sale. Two words, noun from 1964. It is a sale of used household or personal articles like furniture, tools, or clothing held on the seller's own premises. I'm not sure if they needed to give specifics of what types of things are being sold because this list is extremely limiting. Furniture, tools, clothing? Sure, of course, people are going to be selling those things. Maybe those are the most common things. But anything in your house, there's tons of options. I don't know if we needed any of these specifics. Held on the seller's own premises. Now, here's the thing. This is what's always sort of bothered me about a garage sale. That term is that they're almost never held in the garage. But I think the idea is that maybe all the stuff that you're not using, the stuff that you don't like anymore, the stuff that you want to get rid of, you just store them in the garage, and then you're like, shackles. My garage is too filled. I can't fit my car. There's too much crap in my garage. I need to have a garage sale. I need to sell the stuff in my garage. Here, let me throw it on the lawn, the front lawn, so you people can come buy it for cheap. The garage sale. Oh, but you know, we also say yard sale because that's where the sale is happening. But the garage sale is selling the stuff that's probably maybe in your garage. But that's not necessarily true. I was involved in a very large sale once at somebody's house, and a lot of it was literally...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
In the garage. They had set up the whole garage for selling stuff. So that was a legit garage sale. But we're not selling the garage. No, no, we still need the shelter for our vehicles. Woo, woo. Now we have garam masala. Two words, noun from 1954. This is a pungent and aromatic mixture of ground spices used in Indian cooking. And I have definitely heard of masalas in terms of Indian cooking, but I don't know what the spices are, and I've never heard of the first word, garam. Is it emphasized that way? Yes, garam masala. So what I want to know, though, is what are the types of ingredients? The name translates, ooh, this is helpful. The name translates to warm spice mix. It's in Hindi, referring to the warming properties of the spices, not necessarily the heat or the spiciness. The exact composition of garam masala varies widely by region, household, and personal preference. Common ingredients typically include coriander seeds, cumin seeds, cinnamon or cassia bark, cardamom pods, green or black, cloves, and black peppercorns. And what's interesting about that list is that almost every single one of those starts with a C. Not that that means a single possible thing whatsoever. I just find it interesting that there's so many C spices. All right, so that is fascinating that we now know all of the typical ingredients in a garam masala. We already know what this translates to, but the book says this is from the Hindi and Urdu garam masala, which literally means hot spices. So that means hot spice, because it makes you feel hot when you eat this. It's maybe hot, temperature hot, and the spices make you just feel kind of warm inside. Makes your heart warm, your stomach warm, makes all of your intestines warm. But it's not necessarily about the spiciness. So good to know, I guess. Yep. I could go for some garam masala. I do love me some Indian food. Bleh-woo! That sound effect is related to an upcoming word, has nothing to do about Indian food. That stuff smells great. Now we have Garand Rifle. Garand Rifle or Garand Rifle, capital G-A-R-A-N-D. Noun from 1931. The synonym is, M1 Rifle. M1 Rifle. And this name comes from John C. Garand or Garand. Don't know how he pronounced his name, but I'm sure people who didn't know pronounced it a different way, and that became a thing. It's a rifle. Don't know my guns. We're going to move on to P.U. Next we have garb. First form, noun from 1599. Number one is obsolete, and the synonyms are fashion and manner. The way that you dress, the way that you hold yourself, the way that you present yourself to the world, that is your garb. Let's get out of the obsolete world. Number two, a style of apparel. a specific style of apparel is garb. And then, to be, it is outward form, and the synonym is appearance. So, again, it's all about how you are presenting yourself, what you are presenting yourself specifically with, the things that you are wearing, maybe how you do your hair and your makeup and your facial hair, if you have that, or any of those other things. That's your garb. And I typically think of garb as just like what you're wearing. So I think these definitions sort of expand on that a little bit more. The etymology says this is from Middle French, garb, which means graceful contour or also grace. From the Old Italian, garbo, which means grace, like maybe Greta Garbo, Greta Grace, Greta Graceful. So yeah, it's like maybe the graceful contours of the clothes and the fashion, or showing yourself with grace, presenting, walking down the catwalk all graceful. That's how we do it. And that's garb. Became just like, how are you showing yourself? What's your appearance like? Well, we got to go on to another one. Peace you, woo, woo, wah. The second form of garb is a transitive verb from 1846. This is to cover with or as if with clothing. So garbing yourself, garbing somebody else, means just putting on your clothes. Putting on my top hat, putting on my white tie, garbing up myself so I can be graceful. Yeah. Garbing. Garbing with garb. Whee whee. Next we have garbage. Did you figure out that's where we were going? You probably did. Garbage, noun from the 15th century. This is number 1A, food waste. One of my least favorite things. I don't like food to be wasted at all. I think that all restaurants should be giving their extra food to homeless shelters and stuff like that, people who need it. There's all these people who have been kicked out of their countries and brought here to America or left for safety reasons, political reasons, and don't have homes and are, you know, trying to get money and stuff from the grocery stores and everything. And, you know, the people like this need all of that extra food if possible. So food waste is garbage. 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 The idea of garbage is food. Like, what? It's not garbage. It's just extra stuff. But of course, in our brains, we think, that's just garbage. Just get rid of it. No, come on. Also, if you are going to get rid of it, it's compostable. Compost that shit. Number 1B. Discarded or useless material. I definitely have to put a link in the show notes for the Ologies podcast episode all about garbage. Garbage. Oh, this is such a thing on our planet. Oy, this is such a thing that we're dealing with. We are making so much garbage as humans, and the plastics, and oh my God, it makes me a little bit stressed when I think about it. So hey, let's not think about it. No, we gotta think about it sometimes. Discarded or useless material. It's just so easy for us to be like, I'm just gonna throw it away. I'm just gonna toss it. I'm gonna buy a new one, new thing, whatever. I've got stuff probably sitting here in my office that's technically garbage, but I'm like, I feel bad. I want to maybe reuse it, or I want to dispose of it properly if it's electronics, and I maybe use it to make art or something. I love seeing people who take garbage and make art out of it, and it's like, oh, yes, thank you. That's so cool and creative, and you're not putting it in a dump, but also, where's this art going to go? Or do we have space for all the garbage art? Garbage art? I don't know. There's something there. All right. Number 2A for garbage. The synonym is the 1B definition for the word trash. Which word do you prefer? Do you like trash? Do you like garbage? Not the actual stuff, not the waste, not the blech, gross stuff, but the word. The word. Which word do you prefer? I think I just prefer garbage, but I guess maybe sometimes I use trash. Are there other words? Gross stuff sometimes? I don't know. Those are probably the two main words. To be, inaccurate or useless data. The scientists got inaccurate data, or they can't use this data in any way. They're like, it's just garbage. That's garbage data. Just toss it out. Get rid of it. I don't need it. It's not helping my science. So toss it out the window. Defenestrate that garbage. This is a Middle English word, which means awful? Afal? O-F-F-A-L. Whoa, I don't know that word. I have to look up this word, because this is going to haunt me. This is going to come back in my dreams if I don't learn about this right now. Afal refers to the edible organs and internal parts of an animal, such as the liver, heart, and kidneys, as well as other byproducts like the tongue, brain, and trotters. It is highly nutritious, rich in vitamins, minerals, and protein, and is prepared in various ways globally, though less common in the modern United States, of course, because we have to be different. Afal is also called organ meat, variety meat, or pluck. Well, this is fascinating. I have thoughts. Personally, I am not going to consume this afal because I am vegan, and so I choose not to eat any animal products whatsoever. But, you know, especially when you look at more ancient cultures, when they would hunt animals, they would try to use as many parts of them as possible because they had respect for the land and the animals and were not over-hunting because there was no capitalism or anything like that. And so all of that made perfect sense. Like, you know, why just eat the muscles when there's these other things in there that are very nutritious and good for you? You know, getting all those vitamins and stuff, because they knew all about vitamins back then. And, you know, again, it's like very cultural in different places around the world. They consume these things personally. Even if I did eat meat, I would not have been interested in, things like tongues and brains and whatever trotters are, or heart or kidneys or livers. Really, just any of those organs I don't think I would have been interested in whatsoever. But there's nutrition, specifically nutritional benefits. Rich in B vitamins, especially B6 and B12, high in minerals, good protein source, antioxidants, everything in moderation. Maybe you shouldn't be eating a heart every day, but, you know, maybe a little bit, a bite, I don't know. If that's what you want to do, just moderation, minimize those things for the animal's sake, for your own health's sake. Red offal. I don't even know if I'm saying this word right. It includes the liver, heart, tongue, kidneys, and spleen. White offal includes the stomach, lungs, pancreas, and brain. Other parts are the head, trotters, those are the feet, and intestines. This is all to go back to the word garbage? Garbage. So how did this become garbage, or why, how did we, because it seems like afal is not food waste. This is stuff that they were, it's like the opposite of waste. No, don't waste it. Eat that, consume that, because it's good for you. So that was the Middle English, garbage was the Middle English word for that stuff. But then things evolved, and humans were like, no, that's gross. Ooh, weird. I'm not going to eat that stuff. Nya, nya, nya. Because I'm too good for hearts and livers and tongues and kidneys. Oh, my. But I'll still eat the muscles and maybe the skin. And then it's like, oh, that's just garbage. That's waste. So this is a fascinating evolution, if I'm understanding this correctly, is that originally it was like all of this extra good stuff. And then it became, no, that's waste. No, don't. That's bad stuff. That's gross stuff. And then, of course, it just went on to all of our waste and stuff that we are not using and consuming in any way. All of our garbage. Our garbage dumps. Well, I am fascinated by that. And now we have to move on to, hey, you, because sometimes garbage smells. It's the word garbage man. Noun from 1888, This is one who collects and hauls away garbage. Please respect your garbage people, garbage men, garbage women, garbage humans. They're not garbage humans. They are the ones who take the garbage away from you because you don't want to do it, right? I don't think you want to do it. So please respect them. They have a probably not great job, a stinky job. They're dealing with gross stuff. Sometimes they're dealing with animals that are thrown out. I just saw a video where there was like a conveyor belt and this guy heard a cat meowing and pulled a bag out before it got crushed. I wonder how often that happens, more than I would like to think. Garbage man. Maybe also at holiday times. Maybe see if you can tip your garbage people a little something if you can. All right, moving on. Away from garbage to... Garbanzo. Should we try to say this one backwards? I believe this shouldn't be terribly hard. Garbanzo was nabrag. Garbanzo. I think that should have been pretty close. This is a noun from 1759. The synonym is chickpea. I have learned that garbanzo beans are the same as chickpea beans, although we don't say chickpea beans. If you didn't know, now you know. If it says garbanzos, but you're looking for chickpeas, same thing! Good for you. And then we got to move on to peep boop boop pop. Garbanzo bean, noun from 1944. Interesting that garbanzo got into English in 1759. Spanish word, by the way. But garbanzo bean, just putting the word bean afterwards, didn't get into English until 1944? That's interesting. By the way, the synonym there is, of course, chickpea. It's chickpea. Now, which one is more common? Which one came first? Which one do people use more often? I just wanted to do a quick little translation to see about garbanzo. Oh, I love that it gives me some autofill options. Yes, garbanzo. It literally means chickpea. Like, so the Spanish word garbanzo just means chickpea. So do you want to use the English word for that thing, or do you want to use the Spanish word for that thing? It's the same thing. Pee-you! Now we have the word garble. Greta Garble. First form, G-A-R-B-L-E. This is a verb from the 15th century. Let's see. I'm checking the... Is this... I think it's only transitive. Number one is archaic. The synonym is the number one definition for the word cull. C-U-L-L. So that's like... What is that? Like culling through things, sorting things? Is that the idea? And so that was garble? Okay. I have some thoughts because that's archaic. But then we have number two. To sift impurities from. Yeah, okay, so cull, I think of that. Like, yeah, sorting through things. Maybe the garbage man, the garbage person, is culling through the garbage to sort things, especially the recycling. Why are you mixing all your recycling? You got to put these over there and those over there because they can't be recycled together. So you got to cull them. You have to garble them? Sift the impurities out of a thing? Garble it? Okay, we're seeing an evolution happen here, I think. 3A, to so alter or distort as to create a wrong impression or change the meaning. The example is garble a story. Garbling something up, you're changing it, you're messing it up, you're distorting it, altering it, and so the meaning is lost, the impression is lost, the whole idea is different than what it was supposed to be. You've garbled it. But so now I think that's different than to sift impurities from, to cull things. Something happened there. Something happened where it was separating things, but then what happened? What happened that you maybe you did the opposite? Maybe you added impurities to a thing, or I don't know, just an interesting way that this word has changed. Because 3A is what I think of garble as. Oh, you garbled it up. Maybe it's literally garbled audio, video, or you garbled up that story. You got it all wrong. But before that, it was culling and sifting things out. Oh, all right. All right. No, we have 3B, which is to introduce textual error into maybe a message by inaccurate encipherment, transmission, or decipherment. So you're putting errors into a thing because you are maybe making a mistake. Maybe you're doing it on purpose if you're trying to send a secret message. I'm not sure. Seems like maybe it's more of a mistake. So then you will have garbled the message. I'm sorry, your message has been garbled. I don't know what you're talking about. Please stop talking to me. Garbler, that is a noun. And I just find this word so fascinating now. The etymology says, this is from Old Italian garbellare, which means to sift. Okay. From the, I guess this would be Arabic word, garbala. Also from Lower Latin, cribellare, which is from cribellum, which means sieve, like the metal strainer thing, the sieve. My brain is like a metal sieve. Akin to the Latin cernere, which means to sift. And there's more at the word certain. So yes, the original definition of this was all about sifting things, separating things, garbling. And now I just feel like that's different. I don't know. If you sort of see it a different way than I do, let me know. Send me a voicemail, an email, whatever you want, and tell me how you imagine this word. What happened? Am I sort of thinking about it differently? I don't know. This is not an uncommon thing where a word has one definition at one point in time, and then it like totally flips and changes at a certain point. It could be the total opposite. Fascinating. Like garbage. All right, moving on to pee-woo. The second form of garble is a noun from 1502. Number one, the impurities removed from spices in sifting. So when you're sifting your powder spices, maybe in a sieve, all the impurities are coming out. And that's garble. The stuff that's left over is the garble. Can you use those garbles for anything? Those impurities? What are those impurities like? Are they too big? And that's why they're being sifted out of this metal sieve? Or are they too small? And so the impurities come out, but the spices are left inside. What are these spices impurities? Well, I know they're garble. Number two, an act or an instance of garbling. That would be, you know, garbling the story, the message, etc. Next is, woo, 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 garboard. Garboard. Noun from 1627. I'm going to do a little dive off the garboard. No, what is this for real? It is the strake next to a ship's keel. Okay, it's a ship term. I guess maybe I need to see a picture of this because those sometimes are helpful to know what things look like. A garboard plank. This is, where is the, I don't even know where the keel is. Do I know? Here's some charts and things. Show me the garboard. End shape of the garboard established by template. That's the name of this figure when you're building a boat from IKEA. I don't know. It's in there somewhere. If you like boats, you probably already know about the garboard. It's from the obsolete Dutch word garboord. Poo you. Next is garboil. Noun from 1548. This is archaic, and it is a confused, disordered state. The synonym is the word turmoil. I'm in such a turmoil. What is happening? I'm so confused. I'm in a garboil. Okay, this is obviously a word that we need to bring back. If you are confused, disordered, you're in a garboil. What is this word? It's from the Middle French garboil, from Old Italian garbulio. But it doesn't say what it means. Maybe it means confused. That would make sense. This word garboil has garboiled me. Weep, woo, 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 woo. Next is garbology. Garbology. Noun from 1975. It is the study of modern culture through the analysis of what is thrown away as garbage. And of course, I think I have to bring up the name of the Ologies podcast about garbage, because I suspect it was literally called Garbology. Well, no. It is actually, just double-checking, I think this is from the right thing. I think there's been only one garbage episode. Discard anthropology. Don't know why she didn't use garbology. It's clearly a word. So this is, it's like anthropology. It's studying the people and the culture and what people are doing and what they buy and create and get rid of based on their garbage. So are there people going through their garbage to study the garbage to see, oh, what are these humans doing? Maybe many, many years from now, the humans of the future or the aliens of the future will come and check out all of our garbage dumps and look through them layer by layer, which I'm sure they will be hundreds of feet high by then. And it'll be like a geological thing where they're, you know, looking at the layers of, during this era of humans, this is the stuff that they owned. And then they get further, deeper and deeper. And then finally they find things like Furbies and Ouija boards, surfboards, maybe garboards. All right, that's garbology. Garbologist is a noun. And moving on to, I think we're on our last word. Pui, woo, wah, hee, hoo. It's the word garçon. G-A-R-C-O-N. And of course, the C has the little blah, 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 squiggle at the bottom. Can't remember what that's called. So this is a noun from 1788. The synonym is waiter. But here's the thing. It's, I guess, technically, maybe that's proper usage of these words, but I don't think it's the most respectful word, in my opinion, because this is a French word, if you couldn't tell, and it means boy or servant. So maybe at a certain point in time, that made sense, that was appropriate, but these days, in the 21st frickin' century, a quarter of the way into the 21st century, I'm not sure how people feel about this. You know, I don't know. I'm actually going to Paris soon, and I feel like maybe I should ask the waitstaff there how they feel about this word garçon. Because it means servant. I don't think that. I mean, technically they are serving you, but they are not your servant. There's a difference there. From the Old French, it's of Germanic origin, akin to the Old High German Hrecho, or Hrecho, which means fugitive. Oh, interesting. Servants, fugitives, of course I see a connection there. There's more at the word wretch. W-R-E-T-C-H. Why wretch? Oh, boy. Oh, garçon. This is fascinating. But, you know, when you're literally talking about a boy, a child, a male child? Garçon. That's the French word for that. All right. Good stuff. Really, really good stuff in this episode today. I hope you were enjoying this as much as I was, where we are. But we got to pick a word of the episode. Today we had garage, garage, garage band, garage man, garage sale, garam masala, garand rifle or garand rifle. Garand rifle, garb, garb, garbage, garbage man, garbanzo, garbanzo bean, garble, garble, garboard, garboil, garbology, and garçon. I mean, there was a couple words here that really kind of threw me for a loop. Garbage, garbage for sure, especially with that etymology. Garble, that one was pretty interesting too. Garages, garage bands, those are fun. There's that band what is it, the middle-aged dad band. I don't know if they are literally playing in a garage, but it looks like it might be a large garage. I think I got to pick Garbage, though. Garbage, garbage, throwing out our garbage. But did you need to throw it out? No, probably not. Can somebody use your garbage? Somebody's garbage is another man's treasure. Didn't need to use the word man there. It's just part of the phrase. Garbage, garbage, don't throw it away. Okay, that's it. That's going to be it for that part of the episode. I shall tell you about a movie that I watched. Oh, yes. I couldn't remember this movie by title, so I had to look it up. It's called Deep Cover. Another just kind of silly fun movie about three people who are going undercover to get in with some criminals. And one of them is an actor improv teacher. The other one is an actor who gets very, very serious. And the other one is not an actor, but is trying to learn that world to help them out in life. I don't remember the specifics. Great cast. And there were definitely some very enjoyable, funny parts. Really, yeah, it's the idea of three people who should not be going undercover are going undercover, but they're actors and improvers and improvers? Improvers. Is that the word? Something seems wrong there. But maybe it's right, or maybe it should be right. It will be right. Improvers. Yeah, it's just an enjoyable, fun movie. Deep Cover, that's that. And that is that for this episode. Thank you very much for checking out this show. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.